And now the game where we invite very interesting people on and ask them to do something slightly less than interesting. Behind today's San Francisco of nerd billionaires and trendy restaurants, there is another city where the most interesting people didn't wear hoodies, but spike heels, glitter catsuits, and fantastic hair. Peaches Christ is the empress of San Francisco drag queens. We are delighted to have her with us today. Peaches Christ, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's such a pleasure. Now, I have never been sadder that we are a radio program. So you are dressed casually, I imagine. This is a casual look for...
This is daytime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grocery shopping, going to the gym.
So you are wearing, let's see, a glitter... What do you... glitter?
It's called
it's
a disco ball
suit. Sort of a fully, you know, Charlie's Angels inspired... silver sequins jumpsuit.
Yes, that's what it is.
With a lot of cleavage.
Oh, yeah.
Elvira-inspired cleavage.
Yeah, I believe that's the Colorado River snaking down through there.
Yes.
You know what? It's formed over eons, that cleavage.
The drought is over.
Yes. And and your hair is fabulous.
The hair is very Farrah-inspired.
The hair is like 9 or 10 actual blondes gave up their hair for that. All drag performers, drag legends have origin stories. What's yours?
Well, I really started my drag career in a movie. I was a film major at Penn State University and was making a movie, which the title I can't say here on NPR.
Right.
But there was a drag queen character in the movie, and the actor we'd hired kind of dropped out. And so as the director, I came in and saved the day. I put on the wig and the costume, and the rest is history, because I moved to San Francisco a year later and started performing at the legendary Tranny Shack Club in 1996.
The Tranny Shack. Mm-hmm. And when you got to San Francisco, did you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm home? Or did you feel like, oh my gosh, I can walk down the street dressed like this and nobody notices?
A little bit of both. Yeah. You have to, you know, to be a successful drag queen in this town, it takes a lot more than putting on a wig and some lipstick.
I know. I tried that yesterday. I got nothing.
Yeah. I think part of it's that... You know, a lot of us flocked to San Francisco to reinvent ourselves. We were the freaks and the weirdos and the people who sat alone in 7th and 8th grade, so it was a hobby. I never imagined this would be my career all these years later, but that's
sadly, how it all started. I did dream it would be my career, and it is not going well. But I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Now, I know a lot of the ladies out in the audience are probably admiring your outfit. How long did it take you to get ready?
About 3 hours.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you start?
You should see what I look like before this. Do you guys know what a bear is?
Really?
Not really. I swear.
So I could
show you right now. All I have to do is take it off.
So the first first hour is just shaving body hair. It's like
I don't see. I'm all covered. This is all illusion. So I'm corseted. I'm strapped down. I'm really buckled in. So
yeah,
you know.
So don't move suddenly, or we can,
it could
people
be
might
dangerous
get hurt
for the front row.
I understand. That'd be terrifying. So what are the shows like that you do? You introduce films. You have these big shows around films.
Yes, I'm in the business of celebrating cult movies. So I grew up in Maryland, and I worshiped Divine and John Waters from a young age.
Sure.
And we do full drag, you know, spectacles before, you know, films. My next show is Showgirls.
Well,
the
this
best
is,
movie
I know,
ever
this
made.
Is like,
whoa.
This is, I understand, one of your big shows that people look forward to. It sells out. This is when you do a big show, sort of you reenact the film before a show.
We do. This is our NC-17th annual Showgirls screening. So I started showing Showgirls 17 years ago. The first show I did, I put on the poster that we would offer free lap dances with every large popcorn. And
how many takers did you get on that?
Hundreds.
I can imagine.
We bring in 100 lap dancers. I call it an army of lap dancers.
Thank you.
And
that.
The Castro Theater, you know, we keep their doors open because they sell more large popcorns that night.
I can imagine.
Than they do in a year.
Now, hold on. Do the
I mean, do you hold the popcorn as you lap dance, or you just put it down to the side and then pick it back up?
This is the thing about that. So a lot of you see guys come who think that they're getting a lap dance, who don't really understand that it's a drag show. So their first, you know, horror is me bursting out of a volcano naked. That's the first thing that happens. And then when I introduce the lap dancers, you can kind of see their popcorn start sliding under their seats. sort of disappearing because, you know, they're my kind of lap dancers, you know?
So the lap dancers are also in drag is what you're saying.
Some of them. You can't always tell what's going on, really, with them.
So it's like all you know is you're getting popcorn. You don't know what flavor.
Yeah,
it could be.
Right.
So, Peaches, you do a show about or with the movie The Wizard of Oz. Can you tell me about that?
We did. We did The Wizard of Oz at the Castro Theater. It's in the middle of the Castro, which is the big gay neighborhood. And so The Wizard of Oz with a drag show at the Castro Theater probably is the gayest thing that's ever happened here, maybe. And, you know, I love The Wizard of Oz. It's probably one of the most inspiring movies I've ever seen or experienced, and I think it really launched my love of horror films. I'm really a horror queen.
Is The Wizard of Oz a horror movie?
I think it is, if you think about it, really. I mean, she kills someone right at the beginning of the movie, and there's a terrifying witch, and she goes on a journey to kill again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
scary. Yeah, from the witch's perspective, it is kind of a serial killer movie.
Oh, yeah, she kills two people. You know, that's a body count. So it's creepy, but we did an age restriction, and that way we could do our drag pre-show, which was a 75-minute big pre-show spectacle before the movie, where I, you know, land in Oz and go on
after
a journey.
75 minutes of watching you play Dorothy in Play Out the Story, doesn't the movie seem boring, thin, and silly?
Yes.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, Peaches, we are delighted to talk to you. And we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Forget About It.
That's quite legitimate.
Thank you.
So, you're a drag queen, but what do you know about Queens? Not the royalty. No, the borough of New York City. Destined to be the next hipster capital now that Brooklyn is old and done. So we're going to ask you three questions about what's happening right now in Queens, New York. And if you answer two of them correctly, you win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Bill, who is Peaches playing for?
Todd Phillips of The Hague in the Netherlands.
Wow.
All right. Here's your first question. In 2010, a woman sued a Queens costume store. Why? A, she got a peg leg, a parrot, and an eye patch when she expressly asked for a Somali pirate costume. B, she tripped and fell wearing their, quote, defective clown shoes. Or C, she got stuck in her horse costume for 4 hours and she was the back half.
I'll say B.
She tripped and fell wearing their clown shoes?
Yes.
You are right. That's what happened. She says that the defective shoes caused her to trip and injure herself at a costume party, the lawyer noted, not a professional clown. Next Queens question. The glory often goes to Manhattan, where all the doers and shakers supposedly live, but in 2012, a Queens man distinguished himself how? A, he made medical history by eating the styrofoam container his hero sandwich came in, and he survived. B, he swam a mile, a measured mile, in the sewage containment ponds at the Hunts Point Water Treatment Plant. Or C, he broke a record by binge-watching 252 movies in 30 days on Netflix.
Wow. I'll say B again.
You're going to go for B, he swam a mile in the sewage containment ponds?
Yeah.
No, it was actually C. He broke the record for Netflix watching. A man named Mark Malkoff wanted to see how much value he could get from his Netflix streaming membership. He ended up paying, as he calculated it, less than 7 cents per terrible, terrible movie. All right, this is exciting because, you know, you like drama. This is dramatic. Here we go. If you get this right, you win. Here we go. All is not sunshine and light in Queens. Queens resident Liliana Coelho was sentenced to 2 years in prison just recently after she was convicted of what crime? A, walking into a Walgreens and drinking 27 five-hour energy drinks without paying for them. B, impersonating a doctor and performing a horribly failed butt lift procedure. Or C, trying to escape Queens by hang gliding off the top of the Queensboro Bridge.
Oh, my goodness.
Terrible.
Let me
put it to you this way, Peaches. Answer B involves a butt lift surgery gone wrong. Has a butt lift surgery ever gone right?
That's true. That's true. And what was C again? The hang gliding?
C was the hang gliding off the top of the Queensboro Bridge.
Okay, I'll say B.
You're going to say B?
I'll say
you
B.
You are right.
Oh,
that's
good.
The answer.
Well,
Miss Coelho pretended to be a doctor and promised her patient a miraculously firm derriere for only $2,000. When the first injections did not work, she tried to fix it, this is true, with crazy glue.
Oh, my God.
Ended up going to jail. Bill, how did Peaches do in our quiz?
Peaches, you're a winner in our book. We love having you here.
Thank you.
Peaches Christ is hosting Showgirls August 23rd at the Castro. And there will be free dances with every large popcorn. More information at peacheschrist.com. And if you're curious to how fabulous Peaches looked with us today on the show, there'll be a picture at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Peaches Christ, thank you so much for being on our show.